So proud of Tay. God's really brought him a long way with his playing, hasn't he? Really has brought him a long way. So very proud of you. Thank you, Tay, for sharing that. All right, children, if you want to go to Sunday school, we have that available, so y'all can head on back. And we're going to be in Psalms 57 this morning. Turn to Psalms 57. Talking about stop pouting and start praising. Yes. Dave Martin. Let's pray for him right now. Lord, we call out Dave Martin's name before you. He needs a touch that only you can give. You are the healer, and we know that. We know there's nothing impossible with you. And we pray for healing for Dave Martin, that you touch him and give him what he needs, Lord, by your power and by your hand, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All righty. Psalms 57. Easy for us to pout, right? Nick, I'm not going to ask you to say out loud, but does Ashley ever pout? Yes. Okay. I think that was pretty quick on the trigger one. yes, thank you. Close those doors. Thank you, Courtney. A lot of times we pout instead of just pressing through and praising God. When something happens to our lives, we change our mood. I say this all the time. Many times we worship God based on condition and based on what's going on. And so we shouldn't do that. We should praise God regardless. God is God, right? God is God, and he don't ever change, right, as the song says. As the McCamey sing, he's God of the mountain, he's God of the valley, right? He's God all the time. He don't change. And so, but we do. We change how we serve God, how we worship God, based on what we're battling, what we're going through. Psalms 57 is talking about David, and this is when David was running from Saul. He was running from King Saul. If you remember, David defeated the Philistine giant Goliath. Everybody was praising him and loving on him and, you know, honoring him, which, you know, made Saul a little jealous. And then he was actually Saul's harp player. He played music for the king to soothe his soul. You know, as Barney Fife says, music soothes the savage beast, right? And so we know that. Music can really affect our lives. And so Dave was brought in to play for Saul, that when he got irritated, got mad, music would calm him down. So David was in the inner circle of King Saul's life. But something happened through time. He became jealous of David because he knew he's going to be the next king. And so he comes against David, and he's wanting to kill David. He's wanting to destroy David. So David has to run. David finds himself in chapter 57 in a cave, hiding from the king in a cave. Now, you know, we read stories of like Joseph and like David who have a decision to make in their plight. Do I whine and pout? Or do I still praise God? Do I continue to wallow in my self-misery? You know, it's all about, you know, kind of like the old joke I always say, the guy's in the prison cell and he's got the tin cup across the bars, you know, going, you know, nobody knows how dry I am, you know, or, you know, woe is me, right? Just, we're always the victim, right? We're always the victim. And I say this all the time, as Christians, we are no longer victims. As Christians, we are victors. And there's a big difference. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So I can't play the victim card no more. Woe is me. No, not woe is you. Jesus was woe is me on the cross, taking on all of our woes that we could have everlasting life. So there's no more excuse for us to pout about where we're at when we know where we're heading. When we know the trumpet's going to sound and one day we'll hear his voice call our name. And one day we'll leave this corruptible and we'll put on incorruption. One day we'll leave this mortal and put on immortality. One day we'll cross the River Jordan and see the very hand of God, the one we served, the one we believed in, calling us home and hear his voice. So there's no reason for any of you in here to pout about nothing. I said this, I think, last Sunday or Wednesday, I don't remember, that we were talking about the blessing of God, how every one of us, oh, Melanie was singing that song, I've Been Blessed. Was that Sunday morning? Yeah, I've Been Blessed. And in that song, I said, all of us in here can relate to that song because it says, I can raise my arms, and all of us can. It may hurt a little bit, but you can get it up a little bit. All of us can see, and all of us walked in here. Most of us walked here in our right mind, but we all walked in here, right? We all can hear. We all can see. We all can smell. We all can taste. We all, most of us in here, except Hunter, maybe a couple others, can drive, right? All of us have a home to go home to today. All of us have something to eat. All of us have heat and air in our homes. All of us have clothes on our back. There's nothing to pout about. And most of all, we serve a King and a Lord who is mighty, who is strong, and who is my shepherd and my God and my help and my provision and my protection. That's who I serve. The Lord is my shepherd, David said in Psalms 23. And I, like I said before, I'm so glad he's Melanie's shepherd. I want Melanie to be in heaven and see Jesus. But if there's a fight to the gate, get out of my way, girl. He's my shepherd. That's just the reality of it. Here's David, chapter 57, verse 1. He's in a cave hiding from Saul. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in you. In the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." We would say in our world right now, June 2020, that we are going through some calamities, right? We're going through some stuff. We're going through a virus. We're going through tensions in our country, social tensions. We're definitely going through calamities. We're going through hardships. And each one of us have our own individual calamity on top of the national calamities that we're battling. Each one of us are. And David says, "I'm going to hide under your shadow." You know, there's nothing better in the middle of July if you have an outdoor event to find a shade tree. Oh my gosh, it's wonderful. It is wonderful. I had an outdoor wedding yesterday, I did. And by the way, congratulations to Taylor Sane. Excuse me. Now it's Taylor Maloney and Jesse Maloney. This is Stacy Sane's daughter got married. Had the honor of marrying her yesterday. She used to come to church here for a while. But they got married, and it was an outdoor wedding. And thank God where we were sitting for the wedding, it was in the shade. Because I didn't want my hair to get suntanned. Remember back in the day, remember Roddy, back in our day, we had that stuff called Sunnian in the spray bottle? And all the guys would put that in the, Roddy, I don't know if he did it, but I did. I bought that Sunnian to blonde my hair. You spray a little bit in, it's supposed to make it a little bit blonde. That was the cool thing. Hunter's like, yeah. I've already got the hair now, yeah. But I was so thankful it was in the shade. You know, I work quite a bit of funeral services, and at those grave sites from June to September is miserable in a suit standing in the sun. I mean, it's miserable. I cannot wait to find a shade tree out there. And sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. But you know what? When I'm under a shade tree, this is my point. When you're under a shade tree, then it covers you, doesn't it? That shade covers you. Wherever the shade ends, you stay where the shadow is, you're covered by that shadow. David says, though I'm on the run and though I'm hiding for my life, though Saul is after me, God, I trust in your shadow more than any weapon formed against me can prosper. I trust in your shadow more than I trust Saul finding me and killing me. I place my trust in you, God. I'm not going to pout about it. I'm going to still trust you. He says, I will cry to God Most High, unto God that does what? Performeth all things for me. Hallelujah. God takes care of me. He shows up all the time. God makes a way all the time. God meets my needs even when I think he's not meeting my need. He woke me up this morning and he set me on my way. Nobody broke in my house last night. My house didn't catch on fire. My wife and children are still alive. I still woke up with breath in my body. He performeth all things and he keeps me through everything. And I thank God for that. And David knew in this calamity of his life, being on the run for his life, God, I'll trust you, my faith in you, because you do all things for me. If I can slay a giant right in front of all of Israel, God, you'll take care of me. You will be my Lord and my Savior. He goes on to say in verse 3, he shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that will swallow me up. God, you're going to send something from above to take care of what's happening below. You're going to send something from your supernatural kingdom to this kingdom to take care of me. You're going to send something on high down here on low to swallow up what's coming against me. Because God, I'm serving you. We base our worship, we base our faith on what we see here instead of what we see there. God, I see you. And when I magnify you, all of a sudden my problem becomes a lot smaller and you become a lot bigger. That's what magnify God means. It means to enlarge. We need to enlarge God, not enlarge our problem. We love enlarging our problems, and we love pouting. Here's why we like pouting. This is why Ashley likes to pout for Nick. Because what happens is we get attention, don't we, when we pout. What's wrong, baby? What can mama do for you? What's wrong, Ashley? You want me Pablo? Does that make you feel better? Maybe. Okay, let's go to me Pablo's. When we pout, we get attention. And I don't care what no one says. We may in our even outward to say, I'm not one that likes attention. We all have an inward hunger for some attention. I love, and it doesn't happen as often as it should, when Melanie will say, you look really good today. You are handsome. Because I don't get none. So here's the deal. We like to be edified. We like to be encouraged. We like to be included in a positive way. And so when we pout, people say, oh, what's wrong? Nothing. I don't want to talk about it. Okay. You sure? I'm okay. And then when we don't talk about it, they get mad. You don't care. You say you don't want to talk about it. Pouting leads others to find out what's wrong with you, and it draws attention. That's why we like to pout. But instead of pouting about our situation, David wasn't pouting. David was calling on God. David wasn't saying, oh, I'm going to die, God, and you let me slay the giant, and yet I'm going to die here. Oh, what kind of God do I serve that let me die in a dark cave? He's calling out to God to rescue him. He's actually almost prophesying because he's proclaiming something to happen that hasn't happened yet. God, you can, you will send from heaven something to me to save me from this snare that's attacking me. You're going to save me, God. I trust you. I believe in you. You're my hero, God, and you can do it. He says he shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Another word for mercy is love. Steadfast love, constant love. He's going to send his love and his truth because he loves me. He's going to take care of me. He says, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongues a sharp sword. People were after him, not just the king, but all of his men. There were people after David. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. He's promoting God as being above all things. You're above my calamity. You're above this battle. You're above the people after me. You're above their mouths. You're above their attacks. God, you're above it all. And I trust you for that. Trust you're above it all. He says, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. You know what David's saying? They're digging a pit for me. But God, that pit's going to catch them, not me. That pit's going to be for their fall, not for my fall. You're going to protect me and ensnare them. Just like the Red Sea. The Red Sea was a delivering mechanism used for the children of Israel, but it was destructive for the people of Egypt. The same sea that was a barrier for the Hebrew children became a way of freedom and escape. And that same way of freedom and escape became a calamity that destroyed all the Egyptians and swallowed them up. So here David says, they've set a pit before me, but God, I trust you. You are not going to let me go into the pit. Just like Joseph couldn't be left in the pit. And Joseph couldn't be left in the prison. Joseph couldn't be left for dead because God had a plan bigger than what Joseph even realized. And he's got a plan for David. Remember, David's going to be king. God already anointed him that. Here's what we must realize. In our life, we know we win. We know the end result. We know we're victorious. We know we're God's people. We know we're Christians. We know our end result is not this earth, but his kingdom. And so if we already know that, why do we so easily let the lies of the devil pull away our joy and our peace and our hope and our strength? Why do we walk around pouting? Why do we walk around from the mouth of babes? I can't get no amens, but one kid in here. I often think about, I grew up watching the old cartoon Droopy. I remember Droopy. I'm so happy. Oh, I love that cartoon. It was so funny. He had no personality. He was always the same. He would say it like that. I'm so happy. Don't look like he's like Eeyore, right? Eeyore might be happy, but he don't ever look happy. It's his personality. We walk around like Droopy. Don't be Droopy, all right? Don't be grumpy. You know, the little dwarf. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Don't be grumpy. All the time complaining, all the time whining, all the time pouting. We are victorious through Jesus, and we have overcome. So let's celebrate that. I love verse 7. This is a key verse here. David says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed." That word fixed means steadfast and confident. My heart is confident. My heart is steadfast in you, God. It's fixed. It don't matter what I see. It don't matter what the giant looks like. Understand, God doesn't care how big the giant is. He's still over it. God doesn't care how big the storm is. He's still over it. God doesn't care how big and bad and ugly the monster rises up in your life. He is over it. We measure our giants, and we measure our monsters, and we measure our battles. But God says, the battle is mine. Every battle, all battles, is mine. Let me have your battle. Let me have your fight and see what I can do with it. Hallelujah. If we can let our spiritual eyes see who Jesus is, there's, you know, the old song, MC Hammer, you can't touch this, right? You can't touch this. Dun, dun, dun. I say homeboy, can't touch this. Dun. If we can say that, right? Devil, you can't touch this because God is bigger than that. And it's bigger than that. Well, I'll bring this in your life. He's bigger. I'll raise this up in your life. He's bigger. I'll take this away from your life. He's bigger. I'll put this in your life. He's bigger. I'll rob you of this. He is bigger. I'll steal this from you. He is bigger. My God is bigger than everything. And David's saying, my heart is steadfast and confident. And because of that, he says, I will sing and give praise. I might be in a dark cave with no way out, with no known means of escape. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know if I even get out alive. But God, in this darkness I'm in this hidden cave I'm in, I'm going to sing and give you praise because you are still mighty. You are still holy. You are still righteous. You are still steadfast. You are still the anchor of my soul. Hallelujah. And I will praise you in the cave. I'll praise you in the prison cell. I'll praise you before the giant. I'll praise you in the flood. I'll praise you in the sun. I'll praise you when it's good, and I'll praise you when it's bad. I'll praise you when I know, and I'll praise you when I don't know. I'll praise you in fear, and I'll praise you in peace. I'll praise you in sorrow, and I'll praise you in joy. I will praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what David was doing. Glory to God. My heart's fixed. I'm going to stop pouting, and I'm going to start praising. Oh, my gosh. Something about praising the Lord does something for you. You know what it does? It reminds you of who He is. It reminds you as you start praising God of all that He is, how big that He is, the Savior that He is, as you magnify and praise His name. Verse 8, He says, awake up, my glory. Awake up. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing to you among the nations. We've got to stop letting the devil take away our song. Right? We got to quit letting circumstances take away our melody. I said this a few weeks ago. When somebody's whistling, can you whistle, Grandma? Can you whistle? A little bit. Angela, if you walk in your mama's house, No, I know that. I'm not going to ask you to. If you walk in your mama's house and you hear her whistling, what does that tell you? Yep, she's happy. Right, exactly. When you whistle, it's a sign of I'm happy. It's a sign of I'm praising God. Whistle through the storm. Whistle in the cave. Whistle in your moments of despair. Whistle when the doctor gives you a report that looks insurmountable. Whistle when you lose your job. Whistle when you got a bad youngin'. Whistle when your car breaks down. Whistle, whistle, whistle. Whistle through it and watch what God will do. David is in a dark place, and I'm sure in his earthly state, he's afraid. I mean, Saul and all of his men are after him. I mean, you heard what Marge's about the snake. I mean, some of y'all, you know, a snake standing still 5 feet away would make y'all have a heart attack. Imagine being chased by the king and all of his men. and you're in hiding, praying to God he don't find the one cave you're in. Probably being very quiet, scared to peek out. Do I look out and see what's happening? Do I hear any footsteps? Do I hear any horses? What am I going to do about provision? What am I going to do about food? What am I going to do about water? How long am I going to stay here? You know, I want to go back home. I mean, I'm a vagabond on the run, and I have no peace. I'm sure David faced that, and that's what I'm saying. This is what makes it so powerful. Through that moment of his life, he chose to still praise God. He chose not to pout and say, God, why'd you let this happen to me? God, you anointed me king, and now I'm hiding in a cave. God, you let me slay Goliath, and now I'm hiding in a cave. God, you called me, you know, as your own to be the next future king, and yet I might not even make it there because they're trying to kill. No, he didn't do that. His heart was steadfast. His heart was confident in him who had called him, and he sung praises to him and to himself. It says, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Well, think about that analogy. His mercy is great to the heavens. Heavens indicate endless, something endless, right? Infinity. Your mercy goes on and on. There is no end to your mercy. There's no end to God's mercy. There's no end to God's love. There's no end to God's provision. There's no end. God doesn't run out of taking care of you. We can't wear God out. You know, no matter how, people tell me all the time, preacher, I'm telling you, I bet God gets sick of hearing me talk to him. And I say, no, he don't. I do, but he don't get a bit sick of it. He don't get a bit sick of you talking to him. I promise you, God is faithful. God is constant. God is everlasting. And what he has never runs out. That's why Paul said, he shall supply all of my need according to his riches, not mine. His riches in glory. Goes on to say in verse 11, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let the glory be above all the earth. God, I'm calling on you to show up and be over my calamity and be over this battle, that your glory will be seen and that your glory will rescue me and your glory will help me and your glory will strengthen me and your glory will deliver me and your glory will bring me out and your glory will make a way of escape when they're after me. That God, your glory will be seen, that I will be taken care of. We can pout about our situation we're in, or we can praise him. It's so easy to pray. I'm telling you, we're great. If all of a sudden you won the lottery, you went down here to Citgo and got a scratch-off ticket and won $10,000, yeah, y'all be blowing my phone up. Pastor, guess what? Woo! I won $10,000. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? And y'all be giving them praise hands. Right? And the prayer hands. And you be doing the hallelujah and the angel halos. Woo! God's good. Woo! Woo! I feel his. I knew when I scratched that ticket off, I felt his spirit. Woo! And boy, God showed up. We'd be so excited right there. Right? We'd be praising God. We get a little bonus at work. We're so excited. Oh, I got an unexpected bonus. Man, God's good. Praise the Lord. I got this. I get a $28 check for Energy United. I didn't know for 6 years ago that they overpaid my bill. And I get, oh, I love those little checks. Those are so cool. I got a $28 check. Woo! $28. Hallelujah. But then when something happens to us, we lose our song. We lose our praise. We're just like a big old balloon that gets deflated. We're going to go through battles. We're going to be in caves in our life. We're going to be in dark places. We're going to be in uncertain times. We're going to be in moments we see no way of escape. We're going to have times we don't know what to do. All of us experience that. We go through family problems, money problems, health problems. All of us do. You know, but we can't worry about what may come. We celebrate what is. And what is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus has risen. And he is forevermore my Savior. So I celebrate who he is, not what comes against me. But I celebrate who lives in me. Tragedy and storms come. But if I can still whistle in the cave, if I can still sing in the dark, if I can still celebrate him when my life is on the line. It's one thing I remember about Vance Henry that so touched me, Melanie's heart. To the very end, Vance Henry was giving God praise and glory. He never pouted. Vance never pouted. I've visited him many times in the hospital. We lived across the street, and he had all kinds of health issues. He had, I think, bone cancer, blood cancer, had all kinds of things wrong with him. And for several years, he just was not in good shape, and most days was in pain every day. But he would always say, I'll give God praise while I'm in the land of living. I can still see him. I'll give God praise while I'm in the land of living. I just still see him saying that. And he did. He had a good testimony. He didn't pout. he gave God praise. I go to the hospital. That's back in the day we could do that, by the way. We're making history right now. We'll be telling our grandkids. There was a day we couldn't go to the hospital unless you were dying, and they barely let you in, but they got you in there. But I used to go visit them, and I would go in the room, and the nurse would come in there, and I'd talk to the nurse, well, he's a character, and he said, oh, yeah. He said, you know, I had several tell me this. He said, you know, I'd go in, talk to him, try to encourage him. I'd leave more encouraged than I gave him. I'd leave more encouraged. He always kept the gospel forefront, always, and he gave God praise. And that's what David is doing. And David did that in this moment. And, of course, we know it. Well, if you don't know, I'll go and ruin it for you. He does get out of the cave, and he does not die, and he is made king. And God does anoint him and appoint him to the throne. And David reigned for 40 years and was a very, very good king. He had a share of problems and failures and sins, but God blessed him and honored his life and blessed the nation as he was king. He did make it out. But sometimes we got to sing till we make it out, don't we? We got to whistle till we make it out. We got to praise him until we make it out. Seen a sign at church the other day, said, you know, I've heard this. It says push, P-U-S-H, right? It says pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. Push. Pray until something happens. I've been praying, Pastor, for a long time. Well, keep praying. Poor Allison had to go 2 days before that little baby finally came. Bless her little heart. She was pushing. Bless her little heart. And it took her 2 days. And by the way, if you haven't heard, Dave and Allison had their baby. Little girl, Elena. A beautiful little girl. Mom and baby are healthy. So we are so thankful and happy for them. But you know what? It was a long 2 days. She went in at like 7 o'clock that Monday morning. It was late Tuesday night before she had that baby. And 2 full days. Long days. But you know what? It finally happened. You know? I mean, aren't you glad Allison didn't say, oh, you know what? I'll just give up. Just forget it. Can't do that. You know, it's got to come. Sometimes we do that in our life, right? Oh, just, you know, I'm just tired of praying. Just forget it. What? I wonder sometimes, Gordon, how many times we're right, the next step is our breakthrough, the very next step, and we stop. The very next step is our breakthrough, and we stop just short of that. Praise God. Stop pouting and start shouting. And that's why I wanted those first two songs this morning sung to celebrate and shout the triumph of God and bless the Lord. No matter what our battle is, no matter what we see, God is over it all. Hallelujah. Stop pouting, start shouting. Is Barbara here yet, Roger? Can you step back here and see if she's come in yet? Okay, go ahead and bring her on in. Barbara has paid us a visit this morning, and she's out in the fellowship hall sitting. And she wants prayer this morning from her church. And we're going to have probably just her family kind of come, if you don't mind, just for a distancing issues for her. We're going to have just the family, the sisters and grandma and mama come up, stand behind her. But she wanted all the church to be here while we prayed. She has her surgery June 23rd. And so she's going to have a really busy couple of weeks. And so this is the best Sunday for her to be able to come by for prayer. So it's like I'm doing a wedding. The bride's about to walk in. Come on in, Barbara. Give her a hand, church. Here's our sweet Barbara. We're going to have Mom, you're going to come up, and Grandma and Angela. Come stand behind Barbara. Come on up here, Barbara. Marjorie, can you come here and just play a little something real soft for us? How are you doing? You got anything you want to say to the church this morning? Yes, amen. Yes. Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. Family, come on up a little closer to her. And I'm going to, Barbara, since your head is covered, if you don't mind, I'll anoint your hand. Is that okay? Because I want to anoint something on you with this oil. This oil has been prayed over here at the church as a symbol of the Holy Spirit and His healing power. Y'all stretch your hands toward Barbara. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that this sickness and disease be completely gone. We proclaim a good report in the name of Jesus. Healing and help to all of her flesh. We speak it and we claim it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This season, Barbara, that your faith is going to be elevated. God's going to show you something new and different in a brand new way. You're going to be in a place and a arena you never walked before. You're going to look back and realize what you've come through and who God really is. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Go ahead and sing a little chorus there, Marjorie. Let's sing this together for a minute, y'all. A spirit here right now of healing. As Barbara exits, if anyone else wants prayer, we're going to keep this open for a minute. I feel a spirit of healing right now, an anointing of healing. If you want to pray, I want you to walk up here. Let me pray with you this morning. Thank you. this morning. Wrap your arms around him, God, and give us strength and courage and healing in Jesus' name. She's in your presence. Let your healing power give her what she needs today in Jesus' name. Pray, Nate's wife's mother, who lives in South Carolina. Oh, Rockwell, North Carolina. She had, how's she doing? Is she okay? Yeah. She has tested positive for the COVID. Liz's mother has. So, Trina is her name. So let's pray for Trina right now as a church. Trina, we know you're not with us here in the flesh, but we know our God is where you're at. And we pray, God, over this virus, that you touch Trina's body, that you bring her healing, that as Anna has already said from your word, that as she walks through this fire and passes through this water, it shall not burn her, it shall not touch her. We speak healing for Trina's body, that she will pass through this and come out victorious and whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've had church today, hadn't we? Man. Amen. Brother Scott, y'all be seated. Brother Scott. Yeah, Scott's dad in Mississippi is recovering, but still got some challenges. Had a major stroke and is recovering day by day. So his name is Sammy. So remember Scott's dad, Sammy.
And my grandfather.
It's your grandfather. I know. It's your grandfather, baby. All righty. Oh, I'm sorry. You're so little. He's hit back. What's his name? Frankie. Paula. Okay. Let's pray for these requests. Father, we pray for Frankie, Lord. As he has this heart issue, you're over the heart. We pray you watch over him, and that God, you bring him through this. It doesn't matter, God, that he had to come off the medicine. You're the medicine. You're the physician. You can keep things going for him. And we pray for healing for his body, that this procedure goes well and he comes out whole in Jesus' name. Pray for Paula's cousin, that you help the situation, that you bring healing to their body. You are the healer, and we call her out before you now in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for being our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. Ralph, come up. And I need one more usher this morning. If I can get another usher. Thank you, Gail. If y'all guys just stand up here on each side, like always, I'm going to have you guys bring your offering and put in the plate this morning. If you're in the fellowship hall and have an offering, you can just come in here from there and give your offering as well after we pray for our offering. Bill started all this morning by having a good Sunday school lesson. He got me fired up really good. Father, we thank you so much for this. The presence of God has been here for the anointing, God. We thank you for it. We pray you bless this offering as we give of our seed to you, Lord, our first fruits, that you bless it and use it for your glory. And as your word says, Lord, we are. It's not about if we give. It's about when we give. And God, we are giving with an open heart of love towards you and all you've done for us. And by faith, we believe you're going to always take care of us. Bless it and use it in Jesus' name. Amen. If y'all walk up, if you have an offering, as they sing a song. Thank you very much. We'll pray and get y'all out of here. Lord, as we go our separate ways, we ask you to watch over our steps, order our steps, keep our steps, and we will sing in the cave, whistle in the cave. We'll praise you no matter what we're facing, God, because you are Lord and God over all. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for your presence that's touched this place in a special way. We give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all. Hope to see you Wednesday night.